This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. In the race to be Pennsylvania's next senator, the two candidates met for their first and only debate last night. Former Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman and television host Dr. Mehmet Oz. For Fetterman, the Democrat, it was his first big public appearance since suffering a stroke last May.
And let's also talk about the elephant in the room. I had a stroke. He's never let me forget that. And I might miss some words during this debate. Mush two words together, but it knocked me down, but I'm going to keep coming back up.
The race is considered a toss-up now. Last night, moderators pushed Oz, the Republican, on his stance on abortion.
I want women, doctors, local political leaders, letting the democracy that's always allowed our nation to thrive to put the best ideas forward so states can decide for themselves.
This contest could decide which party controls the Senate. So here to discuss the debate is Stephen Medvick, political scientist and professor at Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome back to Press Play.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's talk about the elephant in the room. And what do you think the reaction will be to Fetterman's performance? He struggled to deliver words. He was halting. At one point, he said good night instead of good evening. Do you think voters will look at him as not able to fulfill the duties in the Senate?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, it's hard to assess what the effect of this debate will be because it was just so unusual. It was really kind of unprecedented to have a candidate who, you know, had so much difficulty to articulate his thoughts. But voters know why that was the case. I mean, they know that he had a stroke. I think from all accounts, he'll recover and he should be able to do the job. But I think voters watched last night to see how far along that road to recovery is he. And he, you know, by conventional standards of debate performance, had a really, really rough night. Mm-hmm. I think one key question, though, is 2 or 3 days from now, what will we be talking about as a result of the debate? You know, it could be that 2 or 3 days from now, people are talking as much about Oz's position on abortion as they are about Fetterman's performance. So I think it's too early to tell.
Yeah, right. Where he says, I want women, doctors, local political leaders, blah, blah, involved in this decision. So, yeah, Democrats definitely pounced on that. Has he explained himself since that making that comment?
I have not seen an explanation. I've been talking to reporters all day long, and I've asked if they've issued a statement, and to this point, I don't think they have. You know, I think there are other ways in which Oz didn't do himself any favors. I mean, he came in, obviously, with a goal of trying to make himself a bit more relatable, you know, maybe more likable. He's got very high unfavorable ratings in the state, and I think he was pretty aggressive last night. At one point, he even said to Fetterman, you know, maybe I need to be more clear because I don't think you understood me. And, you know, that's just mean-spirited. So it's hard to make sense of what happened last night because it's just so unprecedented.
Why do people dislike him so much in Pennsylvania? He has been a popular fixture on TV for a long time. Why is he so disliked by so many voters? And yet the race is evenly tied, according to polls.
Right, because of course we're, you know, in a very competitive state in a polarized environment. I mean, people are willing to vote for the nominee of their party almost no matter what. And so this race will come down to the few undecided voters sort of in the middle. And to that extent, maybe the debate last night will have a pretty significant impact. You know, to the question about his likability, I mean, I think some of it is, you know, him not being from the state and a number of people thinking he may not understand the state and the interests of the voters in this state. You know, on the Republican side, among some Republicans, there's also some skepticism. When President Trump endorsed Oz, there were a number of Trump supporters who said, we think you made a mistake, Mr. President. He's not really truly a MAGA candidate. And so there's some skepticism about what his ideology is. You know, he maybe seems like he took some liberal positions in the past. So I think across the board, there's reason for people to have some doubts about him and his candidacy.
Well, with Fetterman and his health issues, just one more question on that. He has not released his full medical records, and he was asked about that at the debate last night. Is that an issue, a big issue?
Well, it's an issue to the extent that the Oz campaign makes it an issue or that the voters are really concerned about it. The Fetterman campaign is trying to say, our showing up to a debate, you know, a very high-pressure debate, is an act of transparency. I mean, we're showing you where he is in his recovery. But I think there are still some questions about exactly what the medical diagnosis is. Again, I think by all accounts, he'll recover. I think the question many people have is, will it be a full recovery and how quickly will that happen? These are delicate questions, of course, that people are asking, but it's a, you know, people are concerned about, will he be able to do the job? And if he were to release his full medical records, that may go some distance to answering that question for people.
Yeah. Another big issue that they both talked about last night was fracking, and Fetterman came out in support of fracking. In the past, he has not been a supporter of it.
Yeah, that's right, and in fact, that was one of the most awkward responses, because he paused quite a bit and got a little bit confused during the answer, or the sentences weren't very clear, and so it did raise some questions about exactly what his position is. But to be honest, you know, those sorts of policy, I mean, I think to some extent Oz moved away from some of his previous positions, or at least wasn't clear in answering questions about, say, for example, gun control. And so I think, you know, often in these debates, we all, those of us who observe these things very closely, we want to look to the policy, because these debates ought to be about policy. But I think for the average voter, that would probably be lost on them. I mean, I don't know that they know what his original position is or what his position is now. And they tune in to watch for more impressionistic things. You know, how do they look up to the job? Do they look senatorial? Do they look likable and relatable? Can I trust them? Those are the kinds of things that I think voters mostly take away from these debates.
Well, how many voters are really up for grabs? You said that we're totally polarized and people have already made up their mind no matter what. So how many are they fighting for?
Right. So in recent polls, it's been about 4% who say they're undecided. And in many of these polls, those are people who still have sort of signs that they'll be a voter. So they say they have great interest, but they're still undecided. My guess is that most of them probably aren't that interested, or at least aren't following it that closely. And so it's a secondhand sort of assessment of how the debate went. But even then, there aren't that many undecided voters at this stage, I would think. And again, based on the polling numbers. But it's going to be so close, I think, that just a handful of voters really can tip the balance.
Well, always great to talk with you. Thanks for coming on the show again.
It's great to talk to you, too. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. That's Stephen Medvick, political scientist at Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Coming up, we'll take a break from the world of politics and talk fiction with author George Saunders.
Fiction is a way to kind of take a little breath, slow things down, and get into those little cracks and say, well, how do people actually behave? And when they behave badly, how do they rationalize it to themselves?
George Saunders is here next on Press Play.